Good morning. It's 10 o'clock, and this is Observer Radio News. I'm Megan Scanlon with Andrew Robichaux and Renisa McLeod. In weather, it's currently 5 degrees outside. Today, you'll see the rain ending this morning, followed by a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 11. Now, here are the headlines. Deadly suicide attacks rock the morning rush hour in Moscow. Leafs lose in a shootout to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Alice in Wonderland gets bumped to second spot at the box office. Now to our top story. Dozens are dead this morning after a deadly suicide attack in Moscow, Russia. Two female bombers targeted two separate subway stations during the busy rush hour. The first explosion took place on a metro train. The blast was directly under the main offices of the Federal Security Services. The second blast occurred 45 minutes later, but no official location has been given. Chechen rebels claim responsibility for the blasts. In local news, two people are dead and two others are in serious condition after three separate house fires in Toronto yesterday. Early Sunday morning, a roaming house fire killed one man and left another clinging to life in a hospital. Another fire late Sunday killed a 61-year-old woman. The fire destroyed half a complex in the Victoria Park and Danforth Avenue area. The third fire put another man in hospital after he was discovered with no vital signs. The fire occurred in a West End high-rise near High Park Sunday afternoon. The fires are still under investigation. In other news, a burning truck that was heading north has shut down three lanes on a ramp on Highway 400 near the Finch Avenue West ramp. Emergency vehicles responded to the fire shortly after 6 a.m. this morning. It took almost 30 minutes to put the blaze out. The driver is uninjured. An East York charity has recently raised a $100,000 bond for the relief effort in Haiti. Led by Jim Dahl and founded in 1986, Canadian Feed the Children serves such countries as Ghana, Ethiopia, and Haiti, among others. Observer Radio's Aaron Louis reports.
The office of Canadian Feed the Children looks like any other office. But here, they aren't only dwelling over budget reports or data spreadsheets. They work to raise money for countries in need, including project coordinator Bella Lamb.
What makes us unique is we are an international development NGO, but we also have a domestic program, again, focusing on vulnerable children.
Lamb says the organization establishes essential supplies such as food, water, and medical supplies, then moves on to begin the rebuilding process. However, a common issue with charities is donor fatigue. A disaster, such as the earthquake that rocked Haiti, will eventually fall out of the media spotlight. As this happens, a slump in donations usually follows. The director of communications, Marianne Chilko, says she's confident donations will continue.
We're not too worried that our donors are kind of going to have donor fatigue. I think they understand that the role that we play for communities affected by poverty is an important one and it's an ongoing one.
To donate to Canadian Feed the Children, visit www.canadianfeedthechildren.ca. or call 1-800-387-1221. Aaron Louis, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
Also in the news, Michael Ignatieff promises to halt a $6 billion corporate tax cut if elected. The Conservatives plan to cut the yearly tax by 3% by 2017. Ignatieff wants to freeze the tax where it is to bring money in to encourage environmentally friendly and more educated society. U.S. President Obama made a surprise visit to Afghanistan on Sunday. While there, he emphasized the importance of accountability in the Afghan leaders. He also took aim at corruption and better governance. All this comes in as the U.S. heightens its commitment to the country by sending 30,000 more troops. Canada still holds strong to its planned departure from the country next year. And that's the latest news. Now here's Andrew with sports.
Thanks, Megan. And let's start on the ice. In a rare Sunday night tilt, the Leafs lost 5-4 to the Pittsburgh Penguins. The high-scoring affair needed extra time and a Pascal Dupuis wrist shot in a shootout to decide the winner. Sidney Crosby led the Pens to victory with two goals in regulation and one in the shootout. The Leafs, however, outworked the defending Stanley Cup champions to three different one-goal leads during the game. Phil Kessel scored his 30th goal of the season, and Jean-Sébastien Giguère stopped 41 shots in the losing effort. The Buds now have the day off before facing the Atlanta Thrashers on Tuesday night. On the court, the Raptors' season is fading after a 97-94 loss to the Miami Heat on Sunday evening. They are now clinging to the eighth and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, only a half game ahead of the Chicago Bulls. Chris Bosh had a team-high 19 points and 6 rebounds, while the Heat's Dwayne Wade racked up 32 points, 5 steals, and 3 blocks. The Raps couldn't hold on to a 17-point lead in the third quarter and fell 2 games under the 500 mark on the season. With 10 games left, a win tonight would put the Raptors just 2 games back of the 7th-place Charlotte Bobcats. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. in Charlotte. In Toronto, a high school basketball championship is underway, and the TDSB's East Region Tier 1 Championship, there is a key game. Today, the Sir Robert L. Borden Falcons will face off against the Stephen Leacock Lions in their quarterfinal match. As Observer Radio's Joseph Jacobson reports, both coaches say their teams have what it takes to make the finals.
As the quarterfinal match looms, both teams want to overcome last season's disappointments. Leacock coach Fraser McCullough says beating Borden is just the first step to make the provincial tournament, known as OFSA.
We have our goal, and obviously our number one goal is to make OFSA, and that whether or not that's realistic, you know, we don't really care. That's what we want, and I'm sure Borden, that's their number one goal. So their thing standing in our way, number one, is to get the cities, but also to move to the next level.
For his part, Borden coach Donovan Smith says his team this year has to regain past school glory.
We're looking forward to trying to get to the final. I'm really into it here at all.
Although observers say Borden has bigger and more skilled athletes, Smith says he doesn't underestimate Leacock. They did beat Borden the last time the two teams met.
We look at Leacock.
The game will take place today at 3 o'clock at Collegiate Institute. Joseph Jacobson, Observer Radio News, Scarborough.
March Madness is still in full swing and the competition is only becoming fiercer. In a thrilling 69-70 win, the Michigan State Spartans will return to the Final Four for the second year in a row. The 5th-seeded Spartans knocked off the 6th-seeded Tennessee Volunteers to book their spot in Indianapolis next week. The Volunteers, who beat tournament favorite Ohio State, put up a good fight but couldn't close out against Tom Izzo and his nasty defense. The Spartans were led on the scoreboard by Darrell Summers with 21 points, including 4 three-pointers. Michigan State will put their 28-8 record up against the 32-4 Butler Bulldogs on Saturday, April 3rd. Sticking with the NCAA, but jumping to the other side of the bracket, the Duke Blue Devils return to the Final Four for the first time since 2004. Duke is the only remaining number one seed after Kentucky, Syracuse, and Kansas fell earlier in the tournament. An astounding 29-point performance from Nolan Smith lifted Duke over the number three seed, Baylor, 78-71. John Shire also added 20 points, including 5 three-pointers, to put the Blue Devils into their 11th Final Four under coach Mike Krzyzewski. Krzyzewski told TSN, quote, "I'm really happy for this group. It's as close a team as I've ever had," end quote. Duke can now relax until Saturday when they face the number two ranked West Virginia Mountaineers. That's all for sports. Stay tuned after the break for Renisa McLeod and Entertainment News.
I'm kind of a hopeless romantic. My husband, he's just kind of hopeless. But I discovered a surefire way to get him to bring me flowers. All I do is call him up at his office at about 10 o'clock in the morning and say, "Hi, honey, do you know what today is?" Silence. Then I'll say, "You don't know?" "Uh-huh," he says. Then I go, "Well, I don't want to talk to you until you can tell me what today is." And I hang up. Then, just when he's ready to go home, I call him and say, "If you don't know what today is, maybe you can remember to pick me up some potatoes at Winn-Dixie on the way home." Potatoes are right next to the flowers. It never fails. He walks in the door with a sack of potatoes, a bouquet of flowers, and says, "Honey, I'm sorry. I just can't remember what today is." So I tell him, "It's Tuesday."
Good morning, East York. Here are today's entertainment headlines. Alice in Wonderland was knocked from the top spot at the box office this weekend by How to Train Your Dragon, released last Friday. The movie took home $43 million in sales. Alice in Wonderland now holds the number 2 spot, followed by Hot Tub Time Machine, The Bounty Hunter, and Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Speaking of actors, working as an actor in Canada can be difficult. The Canadian film industry is smaller than its American counterpart and commands a smaller profile. And as Observer Radio News' Michael Gibbons reports, actors also have to learn how to properly navigate the media landscape.
Working as an actor in Canada can be difficult. The Canadian film industry is smaller than its American counterpart and commands a smaller profile. And as Observer Radio News' Michael Gibbons reports, actors also have to learn how to properly navigate the media landscape. Actors are the most visible parts of any film or play. Because of this, they have a special responsibility to the production to be available for interviews. Actor-screenwriter Sujeet Varughese knows that he needs to be on his game during an interview.
Now, in the last 10 years with the rise of tabloid journalism, you really don't know what you're getting yourself into, so you have to be careful, because an actor is the public face of whatever they're involved in, and the public blames you regardless. Like, they blame you for bad writing.
Stage actor Evan Bouillon finds it strange that people who deal with the media, like theater actors, are not better trained for interviews.
I think you learn over time what you should say and what you shouldn't say. Like, you know, they train athletes how to do interviews, you know, and they kind of let actors kind of flounder around and discover what they should and shouldn't say.
And a good interview benefits journalists as well as actors. Michael Gibbons, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
Toronto's Rush has another honor to add to their collection. According to the Canadian press, the progressive rock band became the first group to be inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. It came as a bit of a surprise, as the band is more commonly known for their exceptional playing skills. The nod was given to classics Limelight, Tom Sawyer, The Spirit of Radio, Subdivisions, and Closer to the Heart. Finally, it's a great week for live music in Toronto. Here are some of Toronto.com's upcoming concerts. LA Punk's The Bronx will be at the Mod Club tonight. Tomorrow, Vampire Weekend will rock Sound Academy. On Thursday, alt-rockers Black Rebel Motorcycle Club will play The Phoenix, and hardcore quintet Bless the Fall will be at the Mod Club. British Columbia's dance punk darlings You Say Party, We Say Die will play the Horseshoe Tavern on Friday, and PEI's rockers 2 Hours Traffic cap off the week at Lee's Palace on Saturday. That's all for entertainment. I'm Renisa McLeod. Back to you, Megan.
Thanks, Renisa. That's the news for now. You can hear more coming up in about 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of all of us here at Observer Radio News, thanks for listening and have a great Monday morning.